In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Those were the words of the introit for the fourth Sunday in Lent called Laetare Sunday, which means rejoice. We rejoice to be here this morning because the Lord is here. In our Didache adult catechesis and also with young catechumens, we emphasize that the divine service has two fundamental foci, focuses. The Lord's preaching and the Lord's Supper, because the Lord Jesus is here. And that's why in the introit you have, rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her. In the Old Testament, Jerusalem was the place of God's saving presence because the temple was there. And the people of Israel met the Lord there, confessing their sins and receiving his mercy. And so the psalmist says in the introit, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. The place where the temple was built was called Mount Zion. As mountains go, it was not very spectacular, but it was the place of God's saving presence because the temple was there. It is amazing how significant mountains are in the scriptures. Mount Sinai, the place where the Ten Commandments were given, and this holy worship that centered at the tabernacle and in the temple. Mount Calvary, where our Lord Jesus suffered and died for the sins of the world. And in the tract sung by the choir, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forevermore. So here, the Lord himself is described as a mountain. Many of you have been to the mountains, and it's a place of contemplation of the great creative work of God, the majesty and the glory. There are lots of mountaintop experiences that we have. This sounds rather corny, but Wrigley Field in Chicago, for those of us who are Cub fans, is like sacred ground. Ernie Banks hit his 514th home run there, played his entire career. Sano, Kessinger, Beckert, Banks, the infield third to first, these were like the holy ones of that shrine. Of course, for those who are not Cub fans, it means absolutely nothing. But for us, it's like being a Packer fan and going into Green Bay and into the stadium there. It is because of what happens in those places that they are so sacred. How much more than what happens here? St. Luke recorded in the second reading from Acts after Pentecost that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread and in the prayers. Because there, in the simplicity of the divine service, eternal salvation was given through the Lord's preaching and the Lord's Supper. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed but abideth forever. And that brings us to the gospel for today, the feeding of the 5,000, the traditional reading for Laetare Sunday. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. When Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Today's gospel begins and ends with Jesus on a mountain. At the beginning, he is sitting with his disciples. From the heights of the mountain, he could see the multitude coming toward him. They had seen the signs he performed on those who were diseased, and they wanted more. And he gave them more. He fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. 12 baskets of leftover fragments were gathered up afterwards, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel, one for each of the 12 disciples. And then, when he perceived that they wanted to take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself, alone. Nothing is ever an accident in the prophetic eyewitness reports of the New Testament. The same is true of the prophetic record of the Old Testament. The things that people say, the things that happen, the things that are done all have meaning and significance, even if we may not at first recognize the significance, like the role that mountains play in the sacred scriptures. And it is amazing how often people in the Bible actually come to the right conclusions, but miss the point or the meaning of the events themselves. Such is the case in today's gospel. In today's gospel, the scene takes us back to Moses and the children of Israel in the wilderness. Moses went up and down the mountain to commune with the Lord and then to take the Lord's word and speak it to the people for their salvation. He was a shepherd. Israel was the flock. Borrowing language from David's famous psalm, he led them to the green pastures and the quiet waters. In Jesus' ministry, in the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, he does the same thing. As Moses fed the congregation with manna in the wilderness, the manna from heaven, Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, but they point us here to the altar of the Lord where he gives us his very body and blood as the medicine of immortality, the bread of life. The 5 books of Moses were Yahweh's words that gave life to those who heard and believed. So even the numbers are important. The commands and the promises of the 5 books of Moses are fulfilled in Jesus' suffering and death, in his active obedience to the law, and in his passive obedience as he receives the condemnation that we by our sins deserve. He does what the law demands, and he gives what the gospel promises. He is the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, the son of David. The 2 covenants, the Old Covenant and the New Testament in Jesus' blood, come together in the cross of Christ. Moses promised the congregation of Israel that the Lord, in Deuteronomy 18, he said, would raise up a prophet like him from among them. Him you shall hear. And at Jesus' transfiguration, as he sets his face to Jerusalem, we have the Father's word, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." When Jesus came looking like Moses and doing the things that Moses did, even his journeying up and down the mountains, they recognized him as that prophet greater than Moses. When they had seen the sign that Jesus did, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Now that's fantastic. It's what we've been talking about. It's an example of the people coming to the right conclusion, but missing the point. Hey, this Jesus is the prophet greater than Moses. We can have food in our refrigerator all the time. Isn't that fantastic? Right idea, wrong point. we confess that Jesus is the Son of God, the one through whom God created and sustains the universe. We rightly confess that Jesus, the Son of God, is Savior who came in the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, to be our substitute, to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, to restore life with God and to reconcile us with the Father. We confess that the feeding of the 5,000 is a miracle that shows Jesus to be the very bread of life, and here in the Lord's Supper, he feeds us with himself. Talk about a mountaintop experience. Nothing is greater than where Jesus locates himself with his holy word and with his life-giving body and blood. Yet we live in fear. We live in dread. We confess the truth, but we miss the point. If it is true that the Lord himself is in this place, the Lord who is the creator and sustainer of the universe, and the Lord who is the redeemer of each one of us from sin, who calls us by name in the waters of holy baptism, clothes us with his righteousness, and says, "You are mine, do not be afraid," then I submit to you, we have nothing to fear. If Jesus is the eternal Son of the living God, if he is whom we confess him to be, then he is in control of the world and of our lives, and especially the bad stuff and the disappointing stuff and the painful stuff he intends to use for our good. We learn to believe that by looking at the cross of Christ and what he accomplished in his suffering and death. When the multitude wanted to make Jesus a bread king, they missed the point. Faith in Jesus, prayers to Jesus, following Jesus is not about getting the stuff that our frail, sinful human wills believe that we need to have. It is rather learning to believe in him alone, in Jesus alone, more than anything else, to love him, to entrust oneself to him, because he is our God and Savior, and from his eternal love, he redeemed us from sin. So the point of the sign of the feeding of the 5,000 is not believe in Jesus and then you won't get sick. Believe in Jesus, you won't lose your job. Believe in Jesus, you won't have any problems. Believe in Jesus and you won't die. No, the point of the feeding of the 5,000 is Jesus is life. Jesus is salvation. Jesus is peace, which cannot be found anywhere else. The point of the miracle is that we starving, weak, sick sinners need Jesus, and he alone is the bread of life. You see, Jesus did look a lot like Moses in the things that he did, but he is better than Moses. Moses was called to redeem Israel from slavery in Egypt. Jesus redeemed us from eternal destruction and the slavery to sin and death. Moses was called to trust in the Lord, but he so often doubted. The man of unclean lips. Jesus never doubted. Moses tried to intercede for the people and even tried to offer his own life for their salvation, but he could not do that. Only Jesus, the Son of God in human flesh, can intercede on our behalf. Only Jesus can stand in our stead. The Lord himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. Only Jesus could give his life to save a congregation of rebels. Only Jesus could make atonement for sin. Only Jesus could rise victorious from the dead. by the power of an indestructible life. Only Jesus could give us his body and blood to eat and to drink for our salvation. Only Jesus is the bread of life, the prophet who is greater than Moses, Savior of sinners, Son of God in human flesh, creator and sustainer of the universe. Since that is who Jesus is, then he can be trusted. He can be trusted. No matter what you're going through, he can be trusted. Since that is who Jesus is, then we shall join him on the mountain of the Lord to sing his praises and to rest in the comfort of his eternal mercy. Let us not confess the truth and then miss the point. And the point is Jesus, Jesus, only Jesus, can our heartfelt longings fill. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.